Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance this week is really more of a note regarding the ongoing and systemic violations of everything we hold dear by President Tweets a Lot, or X's a Lot, or Truths a Lot, whatever. You know which unholy and unnamed one I mean. That man, let's call him the anti-allyist, recently directed that federal funds should no longer be paid to National Public Radio or the Public Broadcasting Service. That's right, he followed through on his threat to defund NPR and PBS. And yes, a lawsuit has been filed, which will probably stop him from hurting our most cherished source of viewpoint reinforcement. But these are dangerous times, dear Otherin. Now, obviously, we all recognize that both NPR and PBS have long served as reliable partners in the effort to re-educate Americans into the righteousness of our holy wokeness crusade on gender, on sexuality, on race, on religion, on politics, on economics, on whether men should or should not be shaving their eyebrows. Yes, whether it's justice, equity, diversity, inclusion, or pretty much anything else Garrison Keillor and Elmo stand for, these broadcasters are on our side 100%. But how can we expect to effectively spread our message without a solid government subsidy? All the work we've done over all these years to infiltrate the centers of cultural influence in the federal government, education, media, and business are in jeopardy from President Rhett. And if we can't even safely listen to a calm voice extolling the virtues of socialism while laying down a background track of smooth Nigerian jazz with bongos, where will we go for intellectual comfort? Will Oscar the Grouch be relocated to some homeless protection zone? Will Elmo himself have to stop teaching us that sharing is caring, or have to give up being red? Will Bert and Ernie need to find beards? One cannot foresee where this madness will all end. All we know is that it's going to be very hard for NPR and PBS to keep reinforcing our side of everything while pretending to be simply reporting neutral facts if they can't use government funding to do so. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Second, the widespread Gen Z practice of unbossing or avoiding promotions to middle management because they prefer to avoid the responsibility even if it means also foregoing higher pay and bonuses. Yes, apparently the workplace younglings would rather preserve their mental health, avoid stress, and make just enough money to afford hard seltzers and Steam subscriptions rather than climb the corporate ladder of greed and capitalism. Now, we must admit, at first this struck us as a good thing because it sounded vaguely like the sort of thing a good young socialist might say. But then upon advice from the Fourth Interlateran Council on Thinking Correctly About Everything explained, these young people aren't rejecting the patriarchy and the meritocracy. They're rejecting authority in every form at all. Their willingness to quit a job rather than be cajoled or coerced into doing it at a higher level is a dangerously free-willed expression of rampant individualism. And always remember to be playing a long game here. We definitely want them to reject capitalism and corporate greed, but we absolutely need them to be obedient little workers if we ever hope to fulfill our dream of the orderly society of equitable misery for the masses. Our entire project of changing words, changing values, practicing doublethink, and internalizing contradiction is really aimed at producing a compliant citizen who won't speak out or stand up for her rights unless she's told to do so by our magisterium of approved indignation. We want them to believe they are independent, but we want them to actually be completely subservient to the will of our movement. That's why the very first chant of groupthink is always the contradiction that you should stand up for what you personally believe, as long as everybody else is telling you to stand up for it. Just think of all the mild injustices and personal indignities we expect mid-level authoritarians to commit in positions of petty power, such as security guards making grandmothers go through metal detectors before they attend the county commission meeting, or homeowners associations and their endless lists of capriciously enforceable regulations. We need people who feel oppressed so we can use that sense of bitter resentment to get them to turn around and oppress others. That's how this system works and has worked seamlessly for decades in our successful pilot programs in China, Russia, Cuba, and North Korea. So no, unbossing is a real threat to everything we stand for, even if at first it seems like a good solid first step at undermining capitalism. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
And finally, we want to send a warm note of encouragement to our dearly beloved Otherin in the not-too-great state of Washington, where a recent piece of legislation has done something genuinely wonderful. SB 5375, signed into law earlier this month, adds clergy to the list of those who must automatically report child sexual abuse, even if it was told to them in confidence during, for instance, Catholic confession. It further specifies that clergy have no exemption to this new mandatory reporting law for privileged communications, which will still shield lawyers, for instance, from having to do so. What a wonderfully anti-Catholic bill. By forcing Catholic priests to have to decide between reporting parishioners who confess these crimes to them or going to jail themselves for not doing so, this bill really inverts the order of values for Catholics, making the government more important than God, while also saying that lawyers have more privileges than priests. Double victory! Now, yes, the Department of Justice is investigating Washington over this, and there is a chance this bill could be reversed since it does seem to plainly violate the First Amendment protections for free exercise of religion. But bravo for the effort, Washington. Even failed attempts to suppress religion are okay because they make the traditional religionists feel insecure about their power in society. As Mandelbauer's second pronouncement on hostility to religion teaches us, thou shalt always be seeking to reduce, diminish, and demean every form of religion by placing any other value higher than God. And what better way to demean Catholicism than to send undercover officers into the confessional booth to lie about their crimes against children so we can throw disobedient priests in jail when they refuse to report those entrapping confessions? At long last, we have a way to incarcerate religious leaders simply for practicing their faith. Gaia-luya, woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.